And now, live across this big, brown, flat, mysterious, crazy country, Telstra MobileNet Digital presents Martin Malloy with Mick Malloy and Tony Martin.
Hi, you remember us? We're back from our spring break, a lot older, and dare I say, a lot wiser. We've taken a long, hard look at ourselves, people, and frankly, we're not too impressed by what we've seen. And as a result, like so many comics before us, we've put the jokes behind us, we've picked up the guitars, and today we'll be showcasing tracks from our upcoming album of serious songs. Nah, sucked in. It's business as usual as we check out Paul Keating's new hat, take a close look at those backdoor billboards that are spreading across the nation, and unleash our innovative new competition, the Million Dollar Lunchbox. No! Not the Million Dollar Lunchbox, although that is on the way back. I believe the new competition, what's it called, Mick? The Million Dollar.
No, that's it.
The Million Dollar. Listen to this for a concept, people. We've been working for 2 weeks on this. The Million Dollar Million Dollars. It can't fail. Radio Gladiators. And we'll be joined by the star of Clueless, Babe de Jour, Alicia Silverstone. It's all coming up on the program that's defiantly hanging on to its swimsuit competition. Martin Malloy and Dee Ream. What can you do? You can walk my... That's Dee Ream. Things can only get better. Still the motto after all that time here on Martin Malloy. And welcome back to another season, people, with, well, the players remain the same. Myself, Tony Martin. And this bloke here, a man who over the weekend was elected an honorary chief by the Oro people of Papua New Guinea, but shocked many with his decision to fit the ceremonial headdress with those beer cans with the hoses down the side, Mick Malloy.
Oh, just bring a bit of local flavour to the event, huh?
Good on you.
Something to do. Now, tell me, just out of interest, been a while, haven't caught up. What'd you do with your holidays?
Well, let's just say, Mick, that there's not much that I don't know now about the art of boot scooting.
Boot scooting.
But there'll be time for that later in the show. What about yourself? Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. It'll be your boot scooting clinic after six.
Yes, well, wait for that, folks.
Now, what about you? Because I believe you got into some trouble. What was going on?
There's a lot of talk, a lot of rumour. Set it straight.
Well, I spent my holiday shopping with a couple of mates down the local supermarket, and, well, we didn't have a map, did we?
Oh,
so I've only just got back.
Because there's this talk about the new maps that blokes need to go to the
supermarket. Senator Crowley brought it up, and she's right. I thought she was wrong, but she's not. You know, it's just hopeless. Blokes have got no idea, apparently. You know, the sooner we get those maps on the shelf, the better. Don't put them on a supermarket shelf because we'll never find them. But, you know, I soldiered on. I thought, it can't be that bad. You know, went down. Oh, Tony, it was horrible. It was horrible. 6 days wandering aimlessly round a supermarket. We realised we were in trouble in the canned food section on day one. That's right, day one. I kept a diary. That's where we lost Steve-O. We told him he wouldn't listen. We said, don't leave the trolley. Whatever you do, don't leave the trolley. But he did. Remember that, guys? Always stay with the shopping trolley. Anyway, me, Wally, Davo and Trev headed off to find help. We ended up in the produce section where we set up base camp. 3 days we waited in the fruit and veg section, just waiting, hoping, listening to that incessant bloody green sleeves that they played non-stop as music. Oh, the horror. The horror. And I'm ashamed to say it, Tone, but, well... We agreed, into that third day, that even some Michael Bolton would have been good at that point.
I know,
I'm sorry, we were desperate. What could we do? We were shopping, Tone. Do you know what that's like, do you? No, you wouldn't know, because you weren't there. How could you know? That's all right for you. You went shopping with your girlfriend. You had a way out. We had nothing. Understand, do you hear me?
Oh.
Thanks, Tone. Anyway, after 3 days of being surrounded by nothing but fruit and veg, we were desperate. We tried to attract attention. Wally spelt the word help on the floor using carrots and potatoes. I left a trail of onions in case we were being followed. Oh, and we were so hungry. On day four, Davo considered fixing himself a salad. A salad, Tone.
Oh,
can you believe it? Grown men, so desperate, one was prepared to endure the taunts of poof from his mates. I slapped him round and told him it wasn't that desperate. If things were to get worse, we'd Well, we'd eat one of the group. But no, salad! What was he thinking? Trev suggested we send up a flare, so we spent a fruitless 2 hours, well, trying to light each other's farts. No good. Lots of fun. No good. We decided to move on, but, well, Wally was too weak, so we cryogenically froze him by burying him in the frozen food fridge. We didn't want to, but what could we do? Maybe all we should have done was perish together. Maybe we should have done something. Maybe we could have done...
Down!
Thanks, Tone. Anyway, next day, sorry, Mick, I just couldn't help myself.
Right, next day, well, jubilation and relief. We hadn't found our way out, but we had found the liquor section. Oh, sweet alcohol. About 400 cans and as many renditions of K-San later. A breakthrough, Tone. A breakthrough. Davo had a light beer. Hmm?
Yeah.
Do you get it? Well, no, you wouldn't have got it because you weren't there.
Right.
You were at home on the couch in the comfy chair looking at your girlfriend with that cheeky grin knowing you had a fridge brimming full of the goodies. Well, we were down there and it was hard, but we worked it out. We started to put all the pieces together. You see, Davo, firstly, we thought back, the salad. Now, the light beer. Davo, girl! We said, Davo, you're a girl. You should know your way out. Well, he checked the contents of his pants and in vintage Graham Yellett fashion said, hey, you're right, and let us out of the wilderness. We sold the story to 60 Minutes and here I am, a happy ending, Tone. Sure, you know, there are certain scars there that'll never heal. You know, we blokes who went through that ordeal will always share a special bond, probably won't see each other much. Well, apart from that one day a year when blokes who went shopping without maps get together for a march.
Well, Mick, it's good to have you back, and it's a sorry story. But I'd just like to say, as a tribute to those gallant lads like yourself who went shopping without a map, here's a little something for you.
Oh, mother of God, make it stop! Oh, this takes me to a dark, dark place, and there's no map that'll tell you how to get out alive. The horror! The horror!
All right, you guys, let's have a little order.
Something so strong. Crowded house on Martin Malloy. And Mick, it was a big weekend for Paul Keating, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Firstly, there were those rumours of a leadership challenge, which I bet would have had Laurie Oakes and Paul Lynham just foaming at the mouth, because they love a leadership challenge,
don't they?
They start jumping around in their seats. Well, the Prime Minister faced rumours of a leadership spill over the weekend. They're like a couple of excited kids at the front of the queue for Take That tickets.
Absolutely.
But I love this headline from one of the papers yesterday. A group of Labor backbenchers is seeking to install Kim Beazley as Prime Minister, and that word install just seems so appropriate, doesn't it?
Oh, it's a big job, you Beazley. Oh, we'll have to knock this wall down. How are your stumps, mate? Might have to get council permission for this one.
But meanwhile, Keating himself was up in Papua New Guinea, where the Kokoda Hill tribes, the Oro people, were bestowing their highest honour on our PM by making him a paramount chief of the Oro people. And throughout the elaborate ceremony, Keating had just a great look on his face. He just didn't quite know what to make of it all. He looked like someone about to go down one of those big water slides for the first time. And I believe that's how the ceremony actually ended, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Right, there's your hat. Down you go. But the shindig began with Keating walking through the giant village gates while the locals chanted, Oro, 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 which was a nice change for the PM, because usually when he arrives to visit the elders of a foreign power, they all chant, Boro, Boro, just before he leans on them for a couple of billion and loose change. He was then heralded by an Oro warrior blowing a fanfare on a massive conch shell. The PM responded, of course, with the traditional Australian farty noise under the armpit.
Very appropriate.
Yeah, of course. And then he ascended a giant 5-metre platform made from tree trunks, and I believe he offended some of the natives by constantly referring to it as the Voodoo Lounge. And all I can say is I'm glad Paul Keating is the Prime Minister, because I don't know if the platform would have supported Paramount Chief Beazley. But the local chief then placed the ceremonial headdress on Paul's head. It's extremely valuable and fashioned from the bills of five very rare hornbill birds. Quipped the PM, I haven't had this many bills over my head since the last trade figures were released. Thank you. And that was it, the swimsuit section of the ceremony having been dropped after a phone poll of the Oro people. Found it a bit too degrading, sure. I think. But I understand the PM will be wearing the headdress in all future sittings of Parliament, mm-hmm. which that's going to be great. And next stop for him is Cleveland, Ohio, where he'll visit the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame to be invested as an honorary blowfish by Hootie himself.
We now return you to abnormal programming. Martin Malloy.
How do you think the show's holding up? Because it's been a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
We've been on a break. It's a bit shaky. It's a bit wobbly. There's been a few basic errors, I think.
A couple of wheels have fallen off, but we're limping home.
And I love how, you know, we've had a couple of weeks off. So we've obviously had time to think of some new, you know, sparkling champagne ideas.
Come back fresh.
And about 30 seconds into your opening, I think you've done a fart lighting joke.
Yep.
So I think you're to be congratulated, and I can see that holiday was well spent.
See, Tony, that's the thing. You can say we're back. You can say we're back. And you can keep saying we're back. But until you do the fart lighting joke, no one's going to know for sure we're back.
Right.
You might also care to know, also in my spot, I mentioned I slagged off Michael Bolt. There's your staple. Yeah. I got Graham Yallop in. I got a beer drinking reference that if you had a light beer, you might be a bit of a girl. I think I've covered, but I thought, I've got it all. Nothing slipped through the net. Then I see old matey over here coming in with the Kim Beazley jokes. It doesn't matter what we did on a holiday. One thing's for sure, we didn't spend it coming up with new ideas.
Oh, no, listen, I've got something on Pamela Anderson for later.
Oh, good.
So strap yourselves
have
in.
You? Oh, well, I'll just cross that off my list.
Okay, but no, look, we have got some new stuff coming up. We've got a big celebrity name popping in the next hour. Alicia Silverstone, who's kind of the darling of the internet, and young men all around the world are just clamoring for a bit of Alicia, and we've got her coming in, but I understand she's not well. And as a result, I'm not sure if this is going to make for great radio. I think she's lost her voice. So,
is that right?
So how are we going to cope with this?
Oh, we'll just explain what she's saying, or well, she can write us notes. How do you think?
And we'll get someone from around the office to come and read them out.
Absolutely.
Like when Prince goes on the TV, or the artist formerly known as, doesn't talk, has someone else doing the talking for him.
Mm.
So it's going to be
like that
for pretty interesting
radio. Wait.
Stick around. Also, Radio Gladiators is back in business, and I just must mention briefly, I was in the city on the weekend, Mick, and happened to see a protest march going on. There was like 500 blokes walking up the main street with a banner, giant banner reading "Save the Kimberleys." And I thought it's an environmental thing. No, it turns out they're protesting Kimberly Davies' decision to have breast reduction surgery.
This is Martin Malloy.
Welcome to the toy department.
It's Martin Malloy. You remember us. We're back. This isn't some old bit of tape from the bottom drawer. This is live. It's actually happening now. And I haven't bothered to bring the instructions to the show in with them. What happens here? Can you remember, Mick?
Just go on in the usual fashion. Something will turn up.
Well, something happened. Pete, what happens now?
Radio Gladiators, your chance to represent your state and win fame, glory, and fabulous prizes. Here's today's challenge.
It's all coming back to us now, and this Wednesday is our 100th show, and really...
Which makes it more shows than pilots we've done now, doesn't it?
I think so.
That's brilliant.
So we've turned the tables.
Yeah.
That's good.
Who's laughing now?
But what we're looking for on Gladiators today is interesting, unusual, original ways we can celebrate the 100th show. We're looking for suggestions for the 100th program. What kind of thing, Mickey?
Well, I think the nation should join in. I think it should be a national day. I think we should have tall ships in Sydney Harbour.
Right.
I think, you know, reenactments, I don't know.
Some kind of parade with a giant float of, you know, people dressed as me and you, that kind of
thing. That'd be good.
But it doesn't have to be spectacular.
No, great, you had one, Gracie. What was your idea?
Greg Matthews jumping naked out of a cake. Well, maybe.
Yeah, we could. We'd have to get that cake off the top of his head from the last one he came out of.
But it can be just as simple as that. It can be maybe me and Mick...
do the show nude.
That kind of thing, or ending the program by singing Wind Beneath Our Wings, that kind of thing.
Well, see, now you're making sense. Now I'm seeing that, and I'm going to do that anyway. In fact, I reckon we should... Let's not wait till the 100th. Let's end every show singing Wind Beneath My Wings.
I think the show should end with just a lot of really crap bloopers from the show. You know, just with me getting a word wrong and then us just cracking up and just huge laughs.
Absolutely.
We're looking for showbiz ideas. We're looking for big, spectacular
ideas.
Come
on, people. Pull your weight.
Whatever you want for our 100th show this Wednesday and the prizes. Well, I think you might remember that the winner gets a Sony lightweight Discman. Mm. And that's just a very small stereo, basically. But that's not the interesting part. The interesting part is it's brought to you by 420 Pies. Yeah. Now, Mick, did you happen to catch on the news Paul Keating visiting the 420 factory? And he went up on the platform, which was made out of pastry, and he got to wear the big 420 pie hat.
Did he?
It was a giant hat made from beef and pastry.
Until this moment, I've never had any ambitions whatsoever of becoming Prime Minister of this country. But if that's the kind of reward you can look forward to, well, you got to put a 420 pie on the head.
That's right. It was a giant special ceremonial. He's now a paramount chief of 420,
I understand. That's a perk. Yeah. I call that a perk. I want some of that action.
That's just not a hat with a whole lot of bird beaks on it. That is your proper... ceremonial, traditional, special hat.
Yeah, I'd like to see him with a 420 pie floater on his head. Just peas dripping down that big prime ministerial noggin.
We can but dream, Mick Malloy, but let's get back to Radio Gladiators. If you've got the winning suggestion, call now 1-800-657-657.
SAFM.
That's Robert Palmer. I think we know he's addicted to love. This is Martin Malloy. It's Radio Gladiators. And because on Wednesday it's our 100th show, we're looking for creative suggestions. This is going to be an absolute creating melting pot, segment, because we're looking for ideas, things that we can do on Wednesday to make the show different from the normal run-of-the-mill program we turn on every day. Now, Mickey, who have you got for us?
We've got Glenn on the line. G'day, Glenn. How are you? Glenn?
Hello.
Yeah, g'day, mate. How are you?
Mate, it's not Glenn, but I'll talk.
And who are you?
My name's Bernie.
Bernie?
Bernie, yeah.
All right, Bernie. Well, what have you got to say for yourself?
Mate, I think we should do something that's perfectly safe and also very kosher. Mm. We should detonate Australia's first nuclear bomb in Sydney Harbour.
First, what? We should detonate what?
We should detonate Australia's first nuclear bomb in Sydney Harbour. I mean, the French have proved to us that it's safe, and we don't seem to be able to stop them. Mm. And what better way to go off with a bang than to detonate a bomb?
And how does this tie in with our 100th broadcast there, Bernie?
Detonate a few old shows. That could be mildly amusing.
We could certainly pack a few of our programs into some kind of casing and fire it off in Sydney Harbour.
More environmental damage than any nuclear explosion. Yeah.
Oh, you obviously haven't been watching the news. This is perfectly safe.
Well, bring us up to speed, Bernie. You seem to know what you're talking about.
I can only tell you what the French have told me.
But they've been telling us that those Three Colours films are a decent view, and I've checked them out, and I fell asleep, so I don't know about that, Bernie. Let's move on to, have we got Glenn? Is Glennie on board?
No chance of Glenn? Maybe we should move on. Hey, maybe Adrian's there.
Yeah, how you doing?
Hello, Adrian, how are you?
Not bad, mate.
Got your sensible cap on?
Sorry?
Got your sensible cap on?
Yeah.
All right.
I think my idea is as extreme as that one.
All right, well, belt us around the ear with a good idea.
I reckon you should have a flashback episode, you know, like in the old sitcoms.
Oh, yeah. So me and Mick would say, like on, say, Brady Bunch, something like that. We'd sit around.
Different strokes or something like that. They've had one.
Yeah, well, what would it be? We'd be sitting by the fireplace toasting marshmallows and go, remember the time we dragged that dog out of the well? Remember the time we went to Hawaii? There'd be a bit of harp music. And it'd be hardly any work for us.
He said flashback. For a minute, I thought, shut up for a second, Adrian.
Sorry.
For a minute, I thought he said a flash dance episode. I thought, what's that? You and me coming in the tights.
Yeah.
Me singing What a feeling.
Well, I just gay you with a fire hose.
It could even be on your next flashback episode.
Well, too many good ideas from you so far, Adrian. Give someone else a chance.
Who's next? Have we got Joe there?
Yeah, I think you should have a big Mardi Gras with lots of you guys jumping around in G-strings and stuff.
lots of us guys.
Just wait. And you could have special guests like Michael Bolton, Helen Demidenko, all those people, all your favourites.
Are they jumping around in the Mardi Gras too?
If you want them to.
What are we wearing?
G-strings, I know, overcoats.
Sort of Priscilla-type gear.
Yeah, you two can be like on the real big float at the end in your big silver long dresses, I don't know.
That'd be like the guy on the roof of the bus.
Yeah.
What is that film?
It was Priscilla. Priscilla. I think it was the one. It's a very attractive picture. Yeah, I like that. I think that could work for us, and it's good publicity for the show.
Adrian, thanks for taking us down that track. Joe, sorry.
Joe, have we got Michael there? Michael, what's your suggestion?
The name's Mark.
Mark, of course it is.
Hey, Mark, can you tell we've been on holiday for a while?
Yeah.
Right. Okay, well, give us your suggestion and help us out of a hole, buddy.
All right, my idea is to have a 100-year-old guy wearing a birthday cake as a hat with 100 candles lit on it, introduce Martin and Malloy singing Call Me Mr. Copperart.
That's very nice. Where would we find a 100-year-old bloke, though? Is Bill Wyman available, I think we have to ask?
He'd look too much like our Prime Minister on an overseas holiday.
Well, maybe you could ask Bob Hawke.
Yeah, is he available? I don't think we've got money.
Exactly.
But finally, have we got one more suggestion, Mickey? Anything?
Yeah, we've got David on the line, and David's a bit of a thinker from way back, aren't you, David?
Yes, I am.
Okay, now you've sat down and you've given this, you've had a long, hard think about it. You're not going off half-cocked. You've come up with a plan. It's surefire. What is it?
Well, instead of a celebrity Wheel of Fortune, we can have a celebrity CDO fortune with baby John Burgess doing the letters, and the contestants can be Tim Shaw, Arthur Tunstall and Larry Emder.
You know, it really is the clever country, Australia, isn't it? I think that's not a bad idea.
So it's a CD of fortune. You're the first person to coin that phrase. The CD of fortune. How does that work again?
You spin the CDs in...
I know that, but Baby John Burgess and Larry MG, they've got their own CDs out, have they?
Yeah.
And what do? We spin the CDs.
Yeah.
And do they win? Who wins?
The winner who comes up with a bigger spin in the CD.
Mm. The winner would be the guy who tracks you down for finds you and just gives you a kick in the pants, I think, David. I think that'd be the winner of that particular competition.
David, you're not calling us from Dieter Brummer's house, eh, by any chance?
No, I'm not.
Okay, well, look, we like your idea. It's just, you know, I don't think it's quite 100th show material. In fact, the only suggestion I've heard so far that really says 100th show is the flashback option.
The flashback option, in which case, I believe, if my notations are correct, that makes Adrian our winner.
You know, let's hear that again. Just to put that up again. There it is, people. 100 shows.
He's come up with the brightest idea. He hasn't even hung around. That's the contempt our listeners treat us with, Tone. And there's lessons to be learnt there.
Oh, well, Adrian, if you are still listening, call us back and you've bagged yourself a Sony Discman. And
he's on his way in. He heard the other ideas and he's gone, oh, I've got to be the winner. He's in a car. He'll be out the front in 5 minutes.
He's already here. And in the words of our winner today, doot, 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 we'll be back in the next hour, people. Stick around for more sparkling entertainment on Martin Malloy. We'll be joined by somebody who's going to try and inject a bit of class into the show, the star of Clueless, Alicia Silverstone.
Listen, and you're up to date. Life's short. Listen hard, Martin Malloy.
The Girl Like You, it's the second hour of Martin Malloy, and in case you're just tuning in now, it's been some of our finest work, I think, so far, the program. We lost our winner on Gladiators. Mm. When we went back, there was just... I think he just hung up in disgust. Have you managed to track him down?
Oh, I've got him on the line now. G'day, Adrian.
How you doing?
What was wrong? What happened?
Oh, the connection came out of the wall. With the phone.
Right, so you were so excited at the prospect of possibly winning the Radiators, yeah. You ripped the phone clean out of the wall.
Okay, well, you've got the
Sonic... pity some of our other contestants didn't do that while we were talking to them.
You've got that Discman, Adrian.
That's all right, I just bought one about 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, but in case you're listening to it and, you know, you pull it out of the wall and bust the thing, now you've got a bit of a spare. So thanks for playing. You can give it to... Who is that in the background there?
C.
C. Okay, you can give it to C.
Yeah, I will.
And
C, not C.
C. Okay, hey. Look, we're giving you a disc, man, whatever your name is. Okay. I think we've heard enough of this. Thanks
I think we know
much.
How the phone came out of the wall there, don't we?
Thanks very much, Adrian, for playing Radio Gladiators. But we've got to go because a bit of show business royalty's just joined us in the studio. We've got to welcome our guest now. She's the talk of Hollywood. She's the star of the hit movie Clueless. And she's been in more Aerosmith videos than Aerosmith themselves. She's not very well, but she's gamely agreed to drop by anyway. It's Alicia Silverstone. Alicia, thanks for coming in today.
Is it now?
It's now.
You're on.
Hi. Thank you.
Is that what you do on set if when they said, and action, and you'd be standing there going, and is it now?
Sometimes. They're not clear.
Now, you don't sound 100%. What's happened?
I lost my voice, but it's getting better now.
Oh, really? That doesn't really affect radio interviews so in this country, so I wouldn't worry about it.
I know.
We can forge on. Now, we'll try and keep our questions to, like, short answer kind
okay.
of stuff.
You want me to be short and quick?
No. There's no need for that. But we'll try and get you through this so you can get home to bed
okay.
as soon as possible. Now,
thank you.
What we want to do is, firstly, we've had a look at your film Clueless.
Yes.
Is it a documentary?
Yes.
Is this what life's like in Los Angeles?
Yes.
Yeah, right.
Not all of it. I mean, I think it's like everywhere in the world. I think all schools have kids that deal with the same issues that they deal with.
Yes, but like your Australian school, not many people with bandaged up faces having just had a bit of nose work done. Is this common? Do people go in, you know, at an early age and get under the knife and have the chin chiseled away at?
Actually, when I was in school, there was somebody that had a nose job, but I don't believe nobody walks around school with the thing. That was an exaggeration. Nobody actually would.
Right.
I mean, they'd take 2 weeks off or something and go to
the
What
about
hall.
The old computer, the way of putting your wardrobe together.
That's also not real.
Is it? Because I always wanted to get one of those because I've got about
good.
500 pairs of tracky dacks at home and be buggered if I know which ones to put on when I'm going out somewhere important, you know what I mean?
Now, Alicia's looking very confused. Mm. I think we've introduced you to a bit of Australian
tracky
vernacular.
Tracky dack, is that?
Tracky
pants?
Dacks.
Yeah.
Is pants.
Trousers?
It's a very classy item of clothing. You'd only wear it to, like, probably, what, a film premiere? Yeah, something
film
like
premiere,
that.
Your wedding.
Yeah. Tracky dacks.
Casual pants, I think you'd
Your
call.
Casual pants, I think, really.
Mm. Mm. You still have no idea what we're talking about.
Well, I can't tell if you're being sarcastic.
No. This is a very sincere piece of show business, this show. It's highly respected. Now, what about, have you learned any Australian words while you've been here? Any phrases or something you can take back and work into a movie, say?
I'm on a little bit too much medication, so I keep forgetting what everybody
tells me.
Could
I have some of that medication, Alicia? Because where I'm sitting, it looks fantastic. Come on, break it out.
They tell me something and then I forget it, so I don't know.
Oh, that's okay. You're not testifying in the O.J. Simpson trial when you go back, by any chance?
Absolutely not.
Okay, well, you might need a bit more medication, so we might just go to a track and we'll be back to talk in just a moment, once again, with the highly medicated Alicia Silverstone on Martin Malloy. And Alicia Silverstone's still with us on the panel. She's not well, but she's forging on. Now, Alicia, can I just ask you, you've bagged an award, which I wasn't aware of recently. You won the MTV Best Villain Award. Am I right there? What's that all about?
I won the Best Villain Award.
You won the Best Villain
Award. For The Crush.
For the film The Crush,
yeah,
which...
Yeah, everybody should rent.
Oh, it's great. It's on video.
Yeah.
And it's basically you persecuting... who's that guy's name?
Cary Elwes.
It's just you persecuting him for about an hour and a half, isn't it?
Possibly.
That kind of thing.
Yeah, you ruined it for everyone.
I don't think so. I mean, I think it's just about a girl that's really in love.
Oh, right. Okay, well, that's fair enough. Fair enough. It's open to interpretation, right. I think, is what you're saying.
Absolutely.
You've done, what, 9 films in the last couple of years? Is that right? How's that? Can you remember them all? You know what you do? Can you remember anything at this stage, Alicia? You won't remember this interview, will you?
No. Listen to my comments. So gross. I'm sorry. Mm. Yeah, I remember them all.
Yeah. Yeah, was that fun? I mean, 9 different roles.
Hideaway's out here, I think, right now.
Yeah, we're coming soon. Blue. No, it's already out. I think it's out at the moment.
That's why they don't call me Mr. Movies.
It's a good movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
I swear.
Would that be your favorite? Do you have a favorite?
No, I like them all because they're all really... I've been lucky to play all different characters and everyone. Very distinct characters.
What would you like to play?
The next project I'm doing is called Excess Baggage, and I'm producing that.
You're producing it as well?
Yes.
And how old are you, Alicia?
18.
Are you the youngest producer in Hollywood?
I believe so. It's called First Kiss Productions.
Really? And, and do you wield an iron fist? Are you calling the shots? Are you sacking people? What kind of producer
would
are you?
You bake yourself for turning up late?
Right.
For losing your voice? You go, come into my office. I'm going to have words with you. You're a disgrace.
That's about what I would do. Have arguments with myself.
I'd like to see that as the basis for a film.
That's good.
Sorry, like producer.
And what kind of production decisions do you make as a producer?
It's just creative decisions. I'm just the creative entity of the project.
And do you hire directors? Do you choose your own
director?
And who have you chosen? Who have you selected?
I haven't gotten the director yet.
Oh, really?
I'm having some problems there.
Oh, really?
Any parts for a couple of bozos like me and Tone?
I don't know.
You're the producer. You must have a script.
The script's not even really done yet. It's kind of it's gonna be good, but we just haven't really. I gotta get home.
Right.
So I can do it.
So is it fair to say this project is in embryonic form? Is that a Hollywood kind of way of speaking?
That's possible.
Mm. Okay. What's the buzz? Oh, sorry. I've been watching Entertainment Tonight. Just ignore me. Now, what's your next film that we'll be seeing here?
I don't know if Le Nouveau Monde or True Crime will come to you guys, but those are pretty good movies.
We're getting the next Police Academy film, I understand. But, you know, I'm sure we will get those ones you mentioned.
Why, they sound that horrible?
Oh, no. What I'm saying is, you know, you've mentioned a film with a few French words in there.
Oh, I see.
And there's no guarantee that's going to come here.
Okay.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But, well, all the best with those projects.
Thank you.
All the best with basically just having a lie down and a bit of Lucozade. You know what Lucozade is?
Ribena?
Yeah, it's like Ribena. Mm. So you get some of that and you'll be right for the big producing job.
Thank you.
And thanks for struggling your way in here today.
Thank you very much.
We've been talking to Alicia Silverstone on Martin Molloy.
And we'll be restored.
Nice muffins.
It's been a wonderful return to form, I think, Martin Molloy, today.
It's been sparkling. It's been champagne comedy.
We'd like to thank our guest, Alicia Silverstone. Get well soon, and all our radio gladiators. Tomorrow we'll be joined once again by comedian Sue Ann Post. But until then, remember, if you can't say something intelligent, hey, come talk to us.
Martin Molloy is a misguided production in association with Half-Baked Ideas and Ill-Conceived Concepts Proprietary Limited. Brought to you by Telstra Mobile Net Digital. Pete Smith speaking.